technical difficulties. No big deal. Something that has never been a problem has consistently been a problem for, what, the last 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Never have I ever more felt like I've aged out of technology. All right. What did we get into this weekend?
We got into a lot this weekend. We started our weekend at Pie Gallery.
No, go back.
Oh.
We started at Locke's Gallery. We saw the new Jane Irish and Pat Steer shows at the Locke's Gallery opening.
Yes, we did.
Where the prices were not even listed on the price list.
Yeah, but when you Google, you find things that I didn't want to ask for.
These are blue chip artists, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Very established, not emerging.
Yes, definitely. Have works in major museums in our own city as well.
Fantastic. After that, we did scamper over to First Friday in the Old City, where we were slinging drinks at Pie Gallery.
Yeah, it was so fun. We were in the back of the gallery for First Friday. We had a huge turnout. They had a huge turnout.
Natalie Hope McDonald, the feature artist of the night.
So amazing.
So many red dots when we came back later to collect the ice buckets.
Correct. We got to see a lot of pieces sold.
Muy bien.
We stopped over to 2 Street, as we usually do. Mm-hmm. They had an amazing tapestry artist there. And
it
they
was
had
hopping.
A huge party going on in the back garden, as well as a speakeasy down below. Mm-hmm. So continue to check them out, guys.
It makes for a more enriching experience. Petit Garçon and I visited the print center Saturday afternoon. He nearly broke the front door upon entrance. Obviously, he didn't get the exhibition titled Memory, Loss, the one about dementia on the second floor. Nevertheless, it was moving what I was able to take in.
Then, Saturday evening, we slung some more drinks again.
Are we cater waiters now?
We might be. We had an amazing opening reception with Da Vinci Art Alliance, and there was an incredible artist there that had a lot of friends that showed up that evening, as well as Da Vinci Art Alliance patrons, to welcome in this new artist in new space. We stuck around for like an hour and a half.
Longer than we thought we were going to.
Yeah, yeah. But again, drinks were flying. People were having a good time.
Take our stickers.
One person came back 4 times. Aggressive, but
hope you're not driving.
Yeah.
Before getting to the conversation, Robert, we need to give 2 special shout outs. Do you want to do the first one?
Yeah.
Okay. Take it away.
To Sunrise Signs, linked in our show notes, who rescued us by printing some amazing stickers within 6-hour request a few weeks ago when our initial vendor failed to live up to the rush shipping for which we had paid for. Sunrise Signs stepped in and saved the day.
To Morgan, our tech consultant, and her partner, Paige, who got married this weekend.
Oh,
love is in the air.
So
Mazel
great.
Tov, you two.
Amazing.
Shall we get to the conversation now?
Let's do it. Greetings. This is Robert Marsh, and you're listening to Philly Has Heart Podcast. In this podcast, we sit down with artists, gallerists, educators, curators, and other creatives who comprise the Philadelphia art world to discuss upcoming performances, exhibits, and other events and initiatives that are not to be missed. The Philadelphia art scene is so rich that it can seem daunting. Consider this your weekend cultural recommendation. With me always is my producer, Lucinda Dierland.
Hey.
And today we have many special guests. Christina of Girls Like Horror, JP of Philadelphia Ballet, and Jean Michelle and Danielle of the Young Friends of the Philadelphia Ballet. Welcome to all of you.
Thanks for having us.
This is so fun, guys. We have a lot of voices on today, which is extremely fun and it's going to be amazing. But I'm going to start with Christina. Can you tell us a little bit about Girls Like Horror and what inspired you to start it and what the community's like?
For sure. Okay. Well, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. This is really exciting. Girls Like Horror is an all-inclusive film club where we celebrate horror films, specifically ones directed by women or that have interesting, complex, disturbed female protagonists, which I like to say is basically majority of horror films that exist out there. We love supporting the women who endured, you know, the women who played those roles and really, you know, the directors really put them through it to express themselves in ways that, you know, that I relate to as a woman. Right. That is how I process my fears and emotions and maybe taboo desires, whatever it is through horror. So I've just been a fan of horror forever. I made a horror film. Actually, I made a couple of horror films, and wow. I didn't really even know that I was so obsessed with horror or that I was really just interested in this genre. It was like, it was just a part of me. It was just what I was doing. Yeah. And then once I made this body horror film a couple years ago here in Philadelphia, I actually had the realization, oh, okay, you're obsessed with horror. It's okay. this is a fact. So what was happening was I moved here from LA a couple years ago, and I was trying to find community, film community. And so mm-hmm. I did find that by making my film, which was awesome. And our crew was 80% female non-binary, which is wow. also really awesome to say. But when I was having my movie-going experiences, which I love going to films, I love watching movies with people and sharing that experience, I was finding that there wasn't a sense of community around film. When you walk into a space, it's dark, you're alone, you can't talk, you're alone with yourself if you didn't come with a friend. And I was finding that most of the spaces were mostly male or mostly people that just weren't engaging with each other. And I felt a sense of loneliness, maybe like leaving a film that was, you know, kind of hard to watch. It's a horror film, you know, people are getting murdered or possessed or whatever. You know, and I have to go home in my car. And so at that point, you know, I didn't really have a huge crew of people. And so this idea just sparked in my head, TMI, but I get all my great ideas in the shower. I don't know why.
Everybody does.
Right?
I love that. Love it.
So all of a sudden, it just, boom, the seed was planted. I said, I want to start a horror film club for girls, and I want to call it Girls Like Horror. And I texted five of my girlfriends in a group chat, and I said, hey, what do you think about this? I want to start this film club, and should we make our first film, The Substance, and what do you think? And they all were like, this is so cool. And then what happened was it just naturally evolved, where I was making the Instagram and I was making the website, and the logo came to me and the images came to me, and it was within 40 minutes I had a full website and Instagram account, and it was so easy. And I know whenever anything that I do is that seamless and enjoyable and for a good cause, which is to bring people together and you know, to share a common passion and just whatever it is, spread the love, like good things kind of spark from that. And it has, and it just, and we actually celebrated our year anniversary yesterday.
Yay, congratulations. So good.
And from this has branched off amazing partnerships, one of those being with the Philadelphia Ballet.
Yeah.
Can you share how did that collaboration come together?
JP, who works for the Philadelphia Ballet, is a really close friend of mine.
Nice.
And a member of Girls Like Horror, because it is an all-inclusive club. All are welcome. You just have to share this common interest and bond and vibe. It's more of a vibe and an energy of the people that go there. And so JP is one of those members from very early on. It was his idea, and it just so happened that there was, you know, this horror ballet in the works, and JP proposed the idea for me, and we had a lunch, and I mean, it was an easy yes, and of course, if the ballet was willing and able, and it seemed like JP must have had a really good pitch or presentation to make it happen. And so really this is credit to
JP, and also, you know, I grew up in Philadelphia. I've been going to the Philadelphia Ballet for a while, and my mom also really involved with Philly's cultural scene and the arts, and she was on the board of the Philadelphia Opera Company, and she was on the board of the ICA and the MAN, and she has some friends on the board of the ballet. So when I moved back to Philly, we were going to the ballet frequently and been to the galas, and so it's kind of a natural merging.
Love that. JP, there has not been a spooky season specific production from the Philadelphia Ballet for at least a decade, if I'm not mistaken. What can audiences expect from this evening of horror ballet?
Well, it's going to be really fantastic. It's a double bill program featuring two ballets. The first is Fall River Legend, which is choreographed by Agnes DeMille and premiered in 1948. It tells the story of Lizzie Borden, which is really, you know, a story that everyone seems to love. And most people don't know that there's a ballet about it.
Wow.
And it's actually considered Agnes DeMille's masterpiece. Whenever I learned that we were doing this evening of horror, I immediately thought of Christina, because it just seemed like such a natural fit. Agnes DeMille, aside from being an incredible ballet choreographer, she also worked in film. She choreographed the dream sequence from Oklahoma, among many other things. And I just knew that this is something that the girls like horror members would love and want to be a part of. The second ballet on the program is a world premiere by Philadelphia Ballet's resident choreographer, Juliano Nunez, and it's called Valley of Death. And it's just so much fun to build a ballet together from the ground up. And it's going to tell this like really opulent story with a masquerade ball and gorgeous haute couture, you know, costumes that we built in our wardrobe department. I think it's just going to be so incredible, and I can't wait for it.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. But what are you most excited for the audience to experience, both that seasoned ballet goer as well as potentially a lot of newcomers?
I'm really looking forward to seeing a ballet come to life from scratch. This is something that Philadelphia Ballet has become really successful and good at over the past few years. We're opening the season with Carmen and Bolero, and these were brand new ballets that we premiered last year. So it's kind of becoming sort of a signature piece of Philadelphia Ballet's programming.
Yeah.
And it's just a lot of fun to watch a ballet come to life. And what I think is so exciting about Valley of Death in particular is it takes place at this masquerade ball with an element of the supernatural. And I think that guests at the Academy of Music are not going to feel like they're watching a ballet, like they're sitting in an audience. I think they're going to feel like they were invited to be guests at this ball.
Oh,
I mean,
incredible.
The venue just naturally suits itself to the story that the ballet is telling. And what I'm really excited about is in this kind of day and age we live in of podcasts and social media and TikTok and scrolling on our phones, I believe people are really craving unique and communal experiences. Yeah. And this collaboration is going to provide that. And I believe it's going to really create that unforgettable moment that we can all share together rather than just watching it, you know, alone in our apartments on our phone. That's what I'm really excited about, like coming together to celebrate
it's
ballet.
It's a great folding in of both an institution that most of Philadelphia knows and loves, as well as the community groups that are just starting to pop out and wanting to be a part of that growing arts community together. JP, can you share a little bit about the collaboration between the two groups?
Sure. We are collaborating with Christina and Girls Like Horror. We've basically set aside a block of 150 seats at the Academy of Music. And I'll let Christina talk a little bit about this because we kind of came up with the idea together. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I know when we were looking at this particular collaboration, one question I had is, this group primarily goes and sees films and movies. So how can we be inclusive and accessible? Mm-hmm. And I'm really proud that we were able to work together on a ticketing pricing model that is basically the same price as like a movie ticket plus a large popcorn, and in my case, a large Coke Zero. Yeah, and so it's, you know, it's very accessible and inclusive, and we're just excited to welcome maybe atypical ballet audience members to this performance. And I know, Christina, you'd kind of talked about bringing back that nostalgia of going on like high school trips and things like that. And that was important to recreate too.
Yeah, for sure. Because I still use that lingo when I announce events. All right, guys, come on. We're going on a road trip, field trip to the Highway Theater in Jenkintown. You know, I just try and make it fun. And this is exciting to me because a lot of the films that I love are older films. I mean, there's a great kind of horror ballet film called The Red Shoes, and I'm coincidentally wearing red shoes. It was not intentional. It was just my unconscious horror mind did this, but it's a great film about a ballet dancer who puts on these shoes and she can't stop dancing, and it's quite spooky and beautiful. So I love these older, more like gothic horror films. I mean, when you were talking about the masquerade ball, you know, made me think of the films that were made based off Edgar Allan Poe books with Vincent Price for Hammer Films, and just all this opulent beauty, but also super haunting and surreal and fantastical. The Academy of Music, the space itself is so beautiful. I feel like I'm in a horror film. You know, I feel like I'm in the Phantom of the Opera, and it's such a gorgeous space that I've been going to the opera there since I was a little girl. So to get a group of people who are part of the club who maybe wouldn't have an opportunity to catch something in the orchestra or wouldn't even know about the ballet to begin with, because a lot of feedback I was getting was, oh my gosh, there's a horror ballet, you know? So it's been kind of a cool collaboration, because not only is it just, you know, if you are part of our club, if you subscribe to our newsletter, you'll get a code access to these seats, act fast, they'll go fast. But just to bring awareness to different cultural events in the city that people who might be plugged into more of the film world, more of an underground indie scene, they're not getting notices on what's going on at the ballet, you know, right outside their door. So it's been cool to just bring awareness to both worlds, both cultural spaces. It's been really cool.
It is going to be during spooky season as well, which is also great. Do we expect some costume wearers? Are people leaning into this production?
I'm sure. I mean, when we just have our normal film screenings and events, the club members are pulling looks. I don't know where they're getting Exorcist puffer jackets, Bride of Frankenstein leather purses. Wow. I mean, people have the most amazing fashions and tattoos and jewelry. So if they're wearing these outfits just to come to the movies, to go to the ballet during spooky season, I'm sure there's going to be some major eye candy there for sure.
I love this. I love this. From the perspective of Girls Like Horror, we have sold out our entire package of tickets. But, JP, are there still tickets available?
Oh, yes. There's still regular tickets available for sure. The collaboration is actually, it's on Thursday, October 16th, which is opening night. Evening of Horror runs from October 16th through October 19th. So there will be plenty of opportunity to catch this amazing production that weekend. So it's going to be just really incredible, and you're not going to want to miss it.
Another collaboration and way to interact with the ballet is through the Young Friends program. Today we have Jean Michelle and Danielle, who are here as co-chairs of the Young Friends. Can you two share a little bit about what the Young Friends program looks like at the ballet for this season?
So the Young Friends for Philadelphia Ballet is a way for younger audience members to get exposure to the ballet and also be like-minded together. It's, again, just like Christina said, it's about bringing community together. Mm-hmm. And we have several fantastic programming events throughout the season, not just the ballets themselves. We have a really great subscription with our Curtain Pass subscription, which is available. We have a lot of wonderful events throughout the year on top of our Curtain Pass. We're doing this collab with Christina and Girls Like Horror. We also have a brunch at the bar, which sold out last spring, but we're doing it this November, so continuing spooky season after Halloween. Yeah, Jean Michelle, do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Danielle. So like Danielle said, I mean, it's a great opportunity to meet people, like-minded people who, you know, enjoy ballet, want to experience ballet here in Philadelphia. Not only is it a great subscription service, as Danielle said, you get excellent prices on tickets, but we do all kinds of other events. We're talking about this one today with Christina. We've invited our young friends to events at local galleries, at the Philadelphia Museum of Art. We've done backstage tours. I mean, you really get a full experience of the ballet. Just from my own history with the ballet, before I joined the ballet, I didn't know anyone sitting here next to me now, and now I know them all, and isn't that lovely? It's just like a really, really great way to meet people who really love the arts in Philly. And let me say this, I feel like especially Philadelphia Ballet kind of gets shafted sometimes, because Danielle and I were just talking about this. People are like, oh, let me go to New York. But we have such an amazing world-class ballet here with Angel Correa as our artistic director. I mean, if you haven't seen a ballet, please, please come at any time during the year. It's absolutely something to experience. So just an overall plug for the ballet and also the Young Friends group. So.
Love that.
Thanks,
love
Jean
that.
Michelle.
Yeah,
we
have definitely also been pushing your opening weekend as well as the gala itself, where you really get to immerse yourself more into the ballet world and the season. What is everyone excited most about this season in particular?
I am thrilled that Angel Correa brought in Merry Widow. Mm. That is happening in March. It's one of the most amazing ballets that isn't shown a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the most popular among the dancers to dance. So I'm really excited about that. I did get a sneak peek at the costumes for Evening of Horror.
Nice.
Our costuming department is amazing. That is all I'm going to say. I'm not going to give anything away. No spoilers. I just was blown away. So I'm really excited for Evening of Horror as well.
I would say, on top of everything Danielle said, which I'm very excited for, I'm super excited for our gala weekend. Carmen and Bolero, both, as JP mentioned, original works of the Philadelphia Ballet. We didn't make, you get it, we didn't make the ballets, you know what I mean? We didn't come up with Carmen, but we came up with the choreography. But I absolutely loved Bolero last season, and it was so visually stimulating and fascinating to watch. And I'll also say, I usually bring my boyfriend to the ballet, not usually his jam, but he always comes with me and he has a good time, just saying. But that ballet in particular, he loved. So that's always a good barometer. You bring your
exactly.
normal boyfriend.
Boys like ballet.
Exactly.
Yes. There I go. Know.
Start a new group. Yeah, I'll have him bring his friends. But yeah, it was so, so good last year. So I'm so excited to see it again. And I would urge everyone to go see that as well.
And if you are between the ages of 21 and 45, you can be a Young Friend and get our Curtain Pass subscription, which is a fantastic discount for the whole season.
I mean, what's incredible about Curtain Pass is also you can bring your friends for a very reasonable amount as well. And so if ballet is just for you, then you can, you know, rotate in those friends or those bros like ballet. I mean, it's a working title. We can
workshopping it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We definitely talked about seeing Bolero for the first time last season, mm-hmm. where the entire stage is taken over by mostly the entire cast, which is visually incredible as well as just such a powerful piece. And it will be a great closure to that double bill. JP, where can everyone find Philadelphia Ballet, both online and in real life?
The best way to get tickets this season, to find any information about Philadelphia Ballet, is our website, philadelphiaballet.org. Our performances are at the Academy of Music right here in Philadelphia on the Avenue of the Arts. And physically, we're located in North Broad, and it's actually exciting. We're building brand new studios. We're adding 43,000 square feet to our existing studio footprint. State-of-the-art, beautiful glass building, and it's really exciting. So I encourage everyone to just go a few blocks north of City Hall, too, and visit our home.
Excellent. And Christina, where can everyone find Girls Like Horror?
You can find Girls Like Horror on Instagram. Our handle is Girls Like Horror. Website as well is just girlslikehorror.com. And I would say if you're not a big Instagram person, definitely sign up for our newsletter. I send one out every Friday listing various events. Some are club events that we're hosting. Some are other events that friends of mine's clubs, horror related, are hosting. Oh, so excellent. There's a ton of fun stuff there that'll keep you busy if you love film and spooky things.
Oh, everybody join the communities. Yes. All the communities. This is so lovely. All right, into some rapid fire questions. Christina and JP, what is the ultimate horror movie?
Oh, I know mine. I love Alien.
Oh.
I watch it like once a year. I know that's a bit odd, but I just, it's so good.
Have you started the Hulu show?
I have.
Okay.
Ooh.
I'm only on episode 3.
Okay, I will answer in two ways. For me personally, it is Hellraiser.
Ooh.
Without a doubt. It is underseen, but it is so much fun and so gory and disgusting, and I love it, everything about it. But I feel like everybody needs to see Jaws. It's one of the best films ever made,
yes.
Period.
Perfect, perfect. That might even go into our next question. What is the best starter horror movie?
I would say The Exorcist.
Whoa.
Starter?
Let her speak.
I had a different idea. Okay. The movie that came to my mind was Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Because as a kid, there was definitely some horror element for me.
The tunnel?
I was afraid of Violet turning into a blueberry.
Oh.
That's body horror, right?
It could be, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, well, speaking of, what is your favorite horror movie subgenre?
It's definitely body horror, but it goes beyond that. There's a subgenre of body horror called melt movies. And so these are films like Body Melt, Street Trash. They're films where people's bodies, faces are melting and morphing.
I fell down a rabbit hole once. And have you ever heard of the movie Society?
Yes. Yeah.
I have not seen it.
Wow. Yes, that's a deep cut. That is a cult classic. And that is considered a melt movie as part of the body horror subgenre.
Okay. Okay. JP? Yeah.
I love sci-fi horror, but like Christina mentioned earlier, I also love the religious horror, like the Exorcist.
Possession films.
Possession, spirituality, things like that. I find really fascinating.
Oh, so great. Young Friends, favorite ballet?
Sleeping Beauty, classic ballet. I saw it when I was 3 years old. It made me love ballet. I literally walked out of the theater and said to my mother, I'm going to be ballet dancer.
Oh, nice. Aww,
that's very sweet. Oh, gosh, this is such a hard one. Well, I'll give you two. I really do love Carmen.
Nice.
So Carmen's so good. So I'm very excited to see that again. The other one that I just want to point out is Coppelia.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so, what an insane story. And the ballet did it a few years back, and we just really had a lot of fun with that storyline. Me and my friends were like, what is going on here? So it was just a lot of fun. So I like those ballets where the plot is just insane.
Excellent, excellent. And if you could put a number on the, how many times you've seen Philadelphia Ballet perform the Nutcracker.
I cannot because I have seen it one too many times. There's no such thing as too many times. I actually, as a kid, danced on stage with the Pennsylvania Ballet, now Philadelphia Ballet, in Nutcracker. So I really can't count.
You were there a lot.
How many times?
I will actually say this is kind of a shocking revelation to say here, but I think I've only seen it once, which is pretty bad.
That's enough.
It's not. I think it's so good for the holiday season. It really puts you in the mood. But I will say it's not my favorite. Act one, I could skip every time.
There you go.
Straight to act two.
There you go. She's coming at halftime.
I know. Yeah, exactly. But it is beautiful, and I would highly recommend anyone who hasn't seen it, please go see it.
Love that. Love that. These are for everyone. We're just going to go down the line. Philly art scene in one word.
Quirky.
Legacy.
Underrated. Eclectic.
Cheesesteaks with whiz or without?
Without whiz.
I love whiz with.
Same with provolone.
Oh! Favorite beverage of the moment.
Trader Joe's is making a mean pineapple juice in the can, and it's lovely and made with real pineapples.
Nice.
I've been getting this green juice from Mom's Organic Market.
Yes.
That's like kale and cucumber, and it's so good that that's what I'm currently obsessed with.
I love it. Nice.
I'll say there's a new Mexican restaurant in Old City called Tu Rinconcito, and they make a horchata latte, and it's really good.
Trader Joe's had a rosé tea. I think it was rosé hibiscus tea. I don't know what it was. Yep. It was in a can. It tastes like rosé or fosé. Loved it.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, everyone, thank you so much for joining us today. And everyone, please check out Philadelphia Ballet and Girls Like Horror. Thanks, guys.
Thank you,
Robert. Thank you, Lucinda.
We have a ton of things for your weekend and even more things for you to pencil in your calendar. Are you ready for this?
Huh.
All right, let's go. Ballet X's Young Extras Party at the Bach Bar is this Friday at 6 p.m. And we're both going.
Yeah.
We'll see you there.
It's going to be beautiful. The Philadelphia Ballet Gala and Gala Performance is October 11th.
Are there still Young Friends tickets available, Robert?
There are, but they are going quick. You know those Young Friends and their last-minute ticket pickups? They are going fast. Get them quickly.
But you don't have to go to the gala to enjoy the ballet. Carmen and Bolero's Double Bill is running from October 9th through the 12th. And you know, this Sunday, there is not an Eagles game. So that's your opportunity.
Fill your time with ballet. The Philadelphia Chamber Music Society presents Sphinx Virtuosi on October 11th at 7:30 p.m. at the Perlman Theater in the Kimmel Center.
You're getting good at saying Sphinx Virtuosi, Robert.
Trying.
The Museum for Art in Wood Young Artist Speaker Series featuring Sterling Cruz Hare is on Wednesday, October 15th at noon, and it's free.
The Philadelphia Orchestra's Children Halloween Spectacular at the Kimmel Center is October 18th at 11:30 a.m.
Why don't you take the kids for me?
No, thanks.
Henry Rousseau, A Painter's Secrets, opens at the Barnes on October 19th and runs through February 22nd.
Friend of the pod, Dominique Sirmacco, is hosting Plein Air Landscape Workshop on October 25th from 3 to 6 for a very palatable $28. All direction and supplies are included.
That's a bargain. Philadelphia Ballet, I see your gala, and I raise you the Ballet X's 20th anniversary gala on October 28th.
And finally, the Young Friends of the Philadelphia Ballet Brunch at the Bar is on November 9th from 11 to 1. Grab your tickets today.
And with that, Philly has heart.
And art.